Okay, well, God bless you all. In the name of Jesus Christ, we just had a wonderful Skype fellowship, and you can listen to the audio above to hear what we had to share. But now I want to introduce a very good friend of mine, a wonderful lady of God, really walks with God, and she's great fun to be with.
Oh, and it's not his wife.
And it's not my wife, unfortunately. No, she's a wonderful woman of God, and we met her in Dallas-Fort Worth, and we had great fellowship with her. And her name is Amy Battle. So, Amy, would you like to share with us what God's put in your heart?
Yes. God bless you.
God bless you.
And what a privilege to be able to share with the saints. I am deeply privileged. Before I start, I had this on my heart to read something really quick. Psalm 34 from the Christian Standard Bible. And keep in mind, as I read this, that it's concerning David when he had to pretend to be insane in the presence of his son, Abimelech, who drove him out of the kingdom that he was ruling. So things had pretty much gotten a little out of control. So just think about that as I read Psalm 34. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim the Lord's greatness with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and rescued me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the person who takes refuge in him. You who are holy ones, fear the Lord, for those who fear him lack nothing. Young lions lack food and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Come, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is someone who desires life, loving a long life to enjoy what is good? Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from deceitful speech. Turn away from evil and do what is good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry for help. The face of the Lord is set against those who do what is evil, to remove all memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit. One who is righteous has many adversities, but the Lord rescues him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. The Lord redeems the life of his servants, and all who take refuge in him will not be punished. I don't know who that was for, but bless God, I sure enjoyed myself on that one.
Yeah.
I just, there's so many things that God has been working in my heart. But I got an email, and it was earlier this summer, and but I revisited it, and it struck a chord for me. Let me just read it. It's just this one little paragraph. It says, it is important to recognize that God has no equal. And if you look in Psalm 40, verse 5, that is, let me get to that real quick. Psalm 40, verse 5. And it says, Lord, my God, you have done many things, your wondrous works and your plans for us, none can compare with you. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can be told. Nothing can be compared to him. Sometimes, the person who sent this to me says, sometimes I think we think that God and the devil are battling over us. Although the devil is called the God of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4, don't get fooled into thinking that he is on the same level or plane that God is. He is a created being formed with a specific purpose, an underling who served the one true God until he rebelled and was cast out of heaven. He is not on God's level. Amen. He may battle with the angelic realm, but he is no match for God. So I was thinking about that, and I was like, you know, there was a couple things that Jesus Christ knew that we don't nearly spend enough time considering. And then I started to think about Hebrews. And if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 12, we will start there. Hebrews 12. Let me get to the All right. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says in verse 3, consider him. We need to spend, I don't want to say more time, because I really want to say all of our time considering him. Jesus Christ, the author and finisher, the beginner and ender of believing. Okay? As I was reading this other book, it's called Our Complete Jesus Christ, Our Complete Offering. There was a sentence in the preface that goes like this: our Lord's sacrifice was so massive in its scope and magnitude that no one single sacrifice could give full pattern of him who was to come. It was so massive. And I stopped actually after those words. It was so massive. Our Lord's sacrifice was so massive that we should never take our eyes off of what it is that he accomplished. But one of the things I thought was, you know, what is it that he knew about his own self that when we consider him, what is it that, you know, I know about me. You know, Amy knows a lot of things about Amy that a lot of people don't know. Okay? And I'm probably not, you know, but, you know, I get up really, really early in the morning. Well, at least I wake up. I don't necessarily get up, but I wake up really, really, really early in the morning. And you guys would not know this about me unless I had actually said this thing. Jesus Christ knew some things about himself that had been written down like a long time ago. And I'm thinking there was an understanding that he had, perhaps even from his mother's teaching him, because, you know, after all, she had him. And in her having him, there were some things that she understood about him. The point I'm trying to get to is that Jesus Christ knew that there was nothing about him that had anything of the world in it. Let's go to John chapter 10. Jesus Christ laid down his life. Sometimes we take that, you know, well, yeah, I know Jesus Christ laid down his life for me, and man, I'm really thankful for that. Jesus Christ laid down. No, Jesus Christ laid down his life. He said it, I voluntarily do this. John chapter 10, verse 15. Let me get to it. There we go. Okay, verse 15 says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There is something here that we need to get. He could not die. There was no death in Jesus. There was no death in that man. He was called the second Adam.
Yeah.
If he was the second Adam, there must be something about the second Adam that is on the same level as the first Adam. The first Adam, before his transgression, was immortal. He had perfect everything. There was nothing in him. There was no death in him. There was no death at all. Romans 5, verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Says, for if by one man's death, one man's offense, death reigned by one. Okay, stop there. Death reigned by one. Which one? Who? Adam. We didn't have death. God is not the author of death. Jesus Christ, Jesus knew he could not die. He knew this. And yet, I lay down my life. Oh, consider that. Consider that. I'll keep reading. Much more. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. I don't know, man. I swear to you, that just hit me. Just like, amen. When I, it's like a, it's not a gut punch. It's like a, ooh, I'm going to reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Not, you know, somewhere down the road, like right now.
Amen.
Right at this very second, I reign in life. In life, guys, in life. Not in death, in life. Not in a house, not in this, in a body that is deteriorating, and you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that the world has told us is going on in this body. Oh well. Moses was not even born again, and yet it says of him that that his strength had not been abated. In other words, he wasn't like deteriorating, he just fell asleep. He closed his eyes and he was dead. He was not going into the promised land, but his life wasn't like deteriorating and he was falling apart and yada, yada, yada. And all. No, he just fell asleep. Okay? And I'm saying all of this because We are dead to that stuff.
Mm.
We are dead to that information. We are dead to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And go to verse 45. Excuse me. Chapter 15, not chapter 5, chapter 15. There we go. Now go to verse 45. You was going to have a hard problem getting to verse 45 in chapter 5.
Very hard one.
And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Right. Let that speak to you, people.
Yeah.
The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Look, folks, it has to mean something. It has to mean something. It is there all this stuff that we accept. We have to accept what it is that he said. We are dead to those sins. We are dead to the things of this world. We are dead to it. Dead. Go to Romans chapter 6. We're dead to it. So, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Yeah.
Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him. Consider this. Consider him. Consider what he's done. He was not subject to death. Understand that. He was not subject to death. Neither was Adam, but by freedom of his will, as by the freedom of Jesus' will, Adam brought death, Jesus Christ, a quickening spirit he brought. We reign in life. Consider that. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Yeah.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, and we have, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, and we are, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now. He is Lord now. Yep. We live in that eternal life now. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Get it over us either. It has no dominion over us, period. Romans 8:30, what is it? Let me go to it. 8, Romans 7. Chapter 8, and I'm thinking verse 30-something. I'll get to it. Yes. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation? Nope. Or distress? Nope. Persecution? Nope. How about famine?
Nope.
No. Nakedness? Peril? Sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Heck no! and I clean that up. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, I am absolutely convinced, there is no shadow of doubt that neither death, and that's the first one that's on there, death nor life, the one that we consider us nothing, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We are not subject to these things. Back to chapter 6. And somebody remind me, where was I at? Verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, okay, instruction here, likewise, hear me, you reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto that same sin. You are dead people, dead unto it, but alive indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not a figment, it's not an idea, it's not a good thought, it's not something to make us feel better. It truly is exactly what it says. We are alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And some of us are waiting for the gathering together in order to see that. Oh well, I don't want that. I want to know it now. Now, now, now. Why? Because I got eternal life spirit living in me. I am alive and alive. I'm not going to die. This is not a death thing. This was the whole goal was, oh no, we have to fix this. This is God. I've got to fix this. Because death was not an option. It was nothing. It was not in him. God's idea, death had nothing to do with him. As we all know. I'll continue. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Okay, Father, here I am. As those that are alive from the dead, we have gotten up from the dead. Understand that. You have been resurrected from the dead already in Christ. That's how God sees you. When you fall asleep, should the Lord not return before that happens, when you fall asleep, it's just sleep. Because we're going to get a whole new body and a whole, you know, and if we are still on, you know, awake, then we get changed. I mean, it's the whole thing is just like, it's an amazing thing when we stop to think about this thing. Just consider what Jesus Christ couldn't die, people. He could not die. All right? Understand that. All right. Go to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, we are given chapter 10 and starting verse 3. We are given some instruction here, all right? Because we get propounded. We get bombarded daily with this stuff of the world. Bombarded with this stuff of the world. For though we walk in the flesh, verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, For though we walk in the flesh, and we are, we still have this flesh. We do not roar after the flesh. Okay, so my thinking is going to have to be adjusted here, because I don't roar after the flesh. So I cannot respond to tribulations, mental pressures, anxieties, things that happen in this. I cannot respond to them the same as I would in my flesh. You know, I have people that I go work out with, and sometimes I listen to them and some of the things that they say, and I just kind of snicker and shake my head and go, poor thing. But it's like, oh, wow, no, you can't, you know, because most, you know, we talk about injustices, you know, things we see, the news, they see something on the news, and, you know, even if I don't watch the news, I can, and I don't, and basically I don't need to, because the people that I'm around, they do very well at reporting it, so why waste my time? So they come in, and this happened, and that happened, and I don't know nothing about it, and I don't want to know, but, you know, I'm learning a lot of things about where we stand when we take that stand. We are not of this stuff. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, those are vain reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, every thought that we have exalted against what God has already told us, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Okay, so what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, casting down imaginations. Okay, so there must be something that I have accepted, and I'm talking about Amy, that is outside of what, or that I have exalted against what God has already said. So God has said this one thing, and I said yes, but. Okay, so when God says something and you say yes, but, what you have done is exalted what your knowledge is against the knowledge of God. No. We want to rethink this. We want to put the brakes on, pull back on the reins, and go, okay, let me rethink this. Let me rethink this. We have information that we accept as being true. We say we accept it as being facts. You know, there are some certain facts. But what we, in our heart, they're not, we accept them as truth. We won't say that, but we accept them as truth. They're not truth, they're facts. They're just facts, and facts change. Circumstances change, the facts change. Whenever, you know, we venture out, if we're in any situation, as soon as the circumstances change, those facts are now completely different. Yeah. They're facts. There's a lot of stuff. There are facts. They are not truth. Truth cannot change.
Yeah.
Truth will not diverge in any way, shape, or form. Truth never changes. Circumstances cannot change truth. It will not alter truth in any way, shape, or form. As I'm saying that, I'm thinking about Joseph. And Joseph, remember, he was 17 years old, and he was given this dream. God gave him a promise, and, you know, everybody got a little ticked off because Joseph went around and said, hey, you guys are going to bow down to me. And he's like, they're like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. It was, the facts changed a whole bunch of stuff, but the truth was never changed. Get a hold of this.
Yeah.
When Joseph was in that jail, he rose up in the ranks, in even in the jail.
Yeah.
When Joseph was come out of the jail, it was just one circumstance, one, that brought him out of that jail to interpret his dream. And Pharaoh just rose that boy up right through the ranks. He ignored all protocol, put him up to, and said, hey, look, here's the ring. You and me, we are like this. They bump this together, you know. So Joseph had truth that was given to him at 17. It didn't matter how many years. God gave the promise, and he fulfilled it. Truth will not change. Get a hold of that. Truth does not change. All right? So, information that we accept as truth, we need to understand, we need to really reevaluate. Is that true or is it a fact? What is the truth? And then come to the conclusion that you just accept truth as it is. Go to Hebrews and go to chapter 4 of Hebrews. All right. Now, remember, we're talking about casting down imaginations. We're talking about getting straight what we have exalted against the knowledge of God and humbling ourselves to say, yeah, Father, I did that. I exalted that knowledge, that information against what you said. And I'm sorry about that. And let the Father work and just accept, you know, truth. But we have to get to that. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go to verse 11. Here's something that I wanted us to get a hold of. Verse 11 says, you know, we labor about a lot of things. We work about, we do a lot of stuff. We want to go to work so we can earn a living, so that we can do this, so that we can have a legacy, so we can do this, so we can take care of the family, so that, you know, when you, if you fall asleep before Christ comes back, you don't want to leave the burden to your family and yada, yada, yada. We have all kinds of thoughts. And, I know because I've had my share of them. And there's a lot of labor, a lot of work that we get involved in that distracts us from what is actually what we need to be focused on. Hebrews 4:11 says, let us labor. So if we're going to labor, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Whose rest? His. Lest any man fall after the same example of right. Unbelief. that's so freaking amazing to me. It's so simple. That we don't fall after the same example of unbelief. We don't bow to the Lord of unbelief. We gotta knock it off.
Yeah.
For the word of God is quick. It is life-giving. Get a hold of that. The word, his word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner. Here it is. And it's going to discern the thoughts. It's the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You don't have to tell me. I don't really want to know. But get it straight between you and Father. You know, get that. Have I accepted something as truth that is actually really a fact? Have I labored to enter into my own work, or am I laboring to enter into your rest? Let's get something really clear here. You actually have to exit something in order to enter into someplace
Amen.
Else.
Yeah. Amen.
You cannot stay here and be in that rest. You have to exit it. So we have to leave this world. We have to come out from among them.
Amen.
and you know, this is not like I physically have to just, you know, up and get, no, but in my acceptance of anything of this world that is not from God. You know, God may have allowed some things, but we have to get some stuff straight. You know, we live in a fallen world, okay? But we have been redeemed. We have the redemption where we have not recognized the completeness of the redemption yet, because Christ is coming back for us. But we have been redeemed. We have been bought back. So the creation fell, but the redemption that we live in we are now above that. In other words, we are lifted, we have been lifted up out of the fallen, and we now sit at the right hand of God. So we are in it, but not of it. And let's look at somebody who sometimes, well, definitely, when I was reading this yesterday or this morning, I was like, yeah, that's the way we see things. We this happens to us. We get to the place where we get distracted. And I know you guys are going to know this, so I expect to hear some, Psalm 73. Psalm 73. And I'm gonna read it from the Christian Standard Bible. And this is us. You know, this is us. This is what we do. We do this. And this, the subtlety of it is it just happens in routine, daily stuff, you know, but it's because we neglect the stuff that is from the Father. We neglect it to the end that it isn't, we don't give it the place that it should have, the power in our own hearts and minds. We don't do that. We say we do. But let me tell you something about pride. It will have you thinking you're doing a whole bunch of stuff you ain't. So we step back and get a grip, because it ain't that serious. If you ain't doing it, you just stay. Humble yourself and say, yeah, no, Father, that's me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here's Asaph. God is indeed good to Israel. Yes, he is. To the pure in heart. Yes, he is. But as for me, my feet almost slipped. My steps nearly went astray, for I envied the arrogant. And I laugh at myself, and I'm like, yes, that's where I was. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have an easy time until they die. What the heck? And their bodies are well fed. They're not in trouble like me. They're not afflicted like me. Therefore, pride is their necklace, and violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge out from fatness. The imaginations, we heard that word, didn't we?
Yeah.
Casting down imaginations? Yeah. The imaginations of their hearts run wild. They mock, they speak maliciously, they arrogantly threaten oppression. They set their mouths against heaven, and their tongues strut across the earth. Yes, they do. Therefore, his people turn to them. Oh, look at them. And he sounds like he makes a lot of sense. And yes, that makes sense to me. I agree with that. Oh, wait, no, stop. And drink in their overflowing words. Their words. That we could say, how can God know? Does the Most High know everything? Look at them, the wicked. They are always at ease, and they increase in their wealth. Did I purify my heart and wash my hands in innocence for nothing?
For I am afflicted all day long and punished every morning. If I had decided to say these things aloud, I would have betrayed your people. And I wasn't going to open my mouth and say this stuff, but come on. When I tried to understand this, and all of this, it seemed hopeless until I entered God's sanctuary. Where does he dwell now, guys? We are the temple. We are. Then I understood their destiny. Indeed, you put them in slippery places. You make them fall into ruin. How suddenly they become a desolation. They come to an end, swept away by terrors. Like one waking from a dream, Lord, when arising, you will despise their image. When I became embittered and my innermost being was wounded, I was stupid and didn't understand. I was an unthinking animal toward you. And yet, I am always with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me up in glory. Who do I have in heaven but you? And I desire nothing on earth but you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. Those far from you will certainly perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you, but as for me, God's presence is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, so I can tell all about all you do. Go to 2 Corinthians. See, we're not of this world. We need to come out from among the world. We need to come out and stop accepting. There are so many people that have such grand ideas. You know, God can lead you to different writers and different books. But see, it's Him working in you. Yeah. It's Him working in you. You have a personal relationship with Him. So when we start to, you know, exalt that person instead of the lesson, you know, there's a lot of lessons that we need to learn. But one of them is basic and first and foremost, the authority starts and stops with God. 2 Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 11. We need to come out from among them. It doesn't mean that we treat others as lepers. We just don't mix with this world and its ideas. We got to let it go. You know, none of them. God does. He leads people to different places and different things, and I understand that. But it is at the leading of God. You know, when someone asks me, you know, well, what did you do, da 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 da, about? I'm always tempted. I always want to say, well, my father, I don't know whether I should, you know, do I share this? Do I not share this? How do I say this so that they don't go, now that's first and foremost, let me get this straight. That's not my responsibility, but I do want to own my part in that, you know. So if somebody runs off to do whatever, you know, like, oh yeah, well, I started this business and I started to do this and I made just like millions of dollars doing this, all this, and this is what I did. And, you know, if God was leading me to do those things, it doesn't necessarily mean that somebody following after me doing the same thing. In other words, what I'm trying to say is it's not some pattern. We never set a pattern. We always want to go back to God. We want to get out of the world and let God be the one we always seek. His answers. Always. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says, and I'm going to read from verse 11 to verse 18. We have spoken openly to you, Corinthians. I'm in the Christian Standard Bible again. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. I speak as to my children. As a proper response, open your hearts to us. Verse 14, don't become partners with those who do not believe. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? What agreement does Christ have with Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For we, get this, we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch any unclean thing, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be as sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And, you know, some people I can remember, recall, you know, that means just, you know, you separate yourself. No, that is not what that means. That means if I'm going to hang out with somebody, I'm going to share my life, it's with a believer and not with unbelievers. You know, we are here to share with them what the accomplished, the goal, people, is for them to come to Christ. Not to Amy, not to Laura, not to Kim. The goal is to come to Christ. So we have something to bring to them. All right? Now, I'm going to go back to Jesus Christ and Adam. Because I really want to bring home this the truth that Jesus Christ laid down voluntarily, knowing what he was going to go through. You know, he said in John 14:30 that the prince of this world has nothing in me. He also, in the NIV, says he has no hold over me. In the Amplified, it says he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him, and he has no power over me. The ESV says the ruler of this world is coming and he has no claim on me. Okay, so I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is it about this no claim? Who is the devil? What is it that he has that is absolutely not in Jesus Christ? He is the author of death. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says the... Is it 15:26? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get to my... Read it for me, because I am taking too long to get to him.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Death. He is the enemy. Death... Jesus... The devil is the author of death. He is the one. He is the holder of death. He is he brought death into this world. Having been rebelled, kicked out of heaven, there was absolutely nothing left except the total opposite of what God was, which is life. Then he could not become anything but the complete opposite of that, which was death. In Hebrews 2:14, it says, and let me go there, Hebrews, I almost went this whole thing without saying that, Hebrews,
a cup of tea,
exactly, and Hebrews 2:14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy that him that had power over of had the power of death, that is the devil. So what part did he take? And then he delivered us, he delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And that was me. You know, all my lifetime, not understanding, not getting a grip that this was, you know, this life that is in me now, the life that exists in, will live eternally. So, Jesus Christ knew, Jesus knew there was no way that he was going to die unless and until he laid down his life. So think of this. This whole scene, the crucifixion, Jesus Christ is taking on the beatings, the scourgings, the spitting, the stick with the pointy things at the end of it that they raked across his back, you know, and they dug through his... Think about that. He's going through this knowing that those things won't kill him. And on the same token, these people who were sitting on the other side of that, if somebody was big enough that with one blow they could knock out a 500-pound bull, and here you have this guy who's taking these blows, but he's not being knocked out, what do you think is happening with these guys?
Yeah.
They're getting a little more ticked off every blow. And he's taking it. Understand that, people.
Yeah.
He's taking it. And he knew about it. You want to know how I know? Isaiah 52, Isaiah 53. When you read those things, Jesus Christ knew those. He read that stuff. And he took it. And he took it. And what else did he know? 1 Peter chapter 2. He took it. He knew he was not going to die. He knew that unless he laid it down, and I didn't mean chapter 2, what did I mean, chapter 1? No, I meant 2 Peter. Oh, I meant 2 Peter. That's what my problem is. Sorry. I'm like, what? You know, I've had people who have who said to me, you know, yeah, but there is no yeah, but be on the other side of that. You know, Jesus Christ said in Hebrews where it says, looking unto Jesus, he was the beginner and the finisher of believing. He was the beginner and the finisher of the right way of believing. He who for the joy that was set before him endured that cross. He endured those beatings. He endured those scourgings. There was no way that he was going to die from them beating him. It wasn't going to happen. When he died, it was because he gave it up. What did he know about that? Chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verse 22, who, Jesus Christ, did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Verse 23, who, Jesus, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who, Jesus, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By those stripes, by his stripes, by his voluntarily taking it, by his knowing, by his understanding, by his believing, by his belief alone, by those stripes you were healed. Past tense. You were healed. There's a world out there of facts and information. Let's accept what Jesus Christ has done. Let's accept what he has finished. Let's not question it. Let's just accept it. By the freedom of our will, let's just say, okay. Okay. He did it. This is just the perspective. We don't look at it like, you know, I don't want to yeah, but. I don't want to yeah, but myself out of what he's done. You know, it was not a throw. And that is, that's really, that diminishes it, and I even cringe to say that. This was the worst, the darkest moment in the history of mankind. And what did it do? It healed us. It made us whole. It gave us life. It walked us out of sin. Everything that we had coming to us, he paid it off, and it ain't about us. It was about, it's not about my behavior. It's not about I did something wrong, or it's not about that. He finished it so I could live to by the glory of the Most High God. He did it. It was between him and his son. He asked his son, and he said, nevertheless, not your will, but my, not my will, but your will be done. All along the way, he had a way out. 72,000 angels. And all he had to say was, oh, heck's no. I'm done. I am so done. I am so glad he didn't. Because what Adam did threw us into... We could not have been rescued from that. I am so glad that God put him outside of the garden. Because if he had eaten of the tree of life, there would have been no redemption. Get a hold of that. It was serious. It took this man to lay his life down. He was not subject to death, and yet he took it for us. I accept it. Go to Galatians. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 2, and I want you to take this in your heart. And every day see this. Chapter 2, verse 20. And put your name there. Put yourself there. Understand it. You know, when he was talking to the Galatians, they were being stupid. You know? Let's not taking this stuff personally. Our ideas. We have some stuff that we have that are our ideas. We think is pretty smart. Really? Let's stop doing that. Let's accept what Jesus Christ has done. He accepted it. He accepted that he was going to have to go through this so that we could walk as we have the privilege to walk now. I was crucified with Christ. Period. End of discussion. I'm not going to discuss it with anybody because I didn't write the book. I didn't lay my life down. I wasn't there. I just get the benefit of it. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ, Amy Christ, Lord Christ, Kim Christ, you know, Nancy Christ, Russell Christ. We have Christ, people, that's who we are.
Amen.
Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith. Understand that. Of him, the Son of God. I live through his faith. Get a hold of that. The Son of God. who loved me. And am I glad that he uses that pronoun?
Yeah.
Who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We know him. We know the one who did this. We know the one who took him. We ought to live by that faith, by the life that resides in us. It completely supersedes the five senses. And our Lord knows that, and he believes that. He is persuaded. We live under his lordship, not the Lord of unbelief. Stop bowing down to the Lord of unbelief. He's not our God. He can do nothing for us. And I want to close in Ephesians. In chapter 1, this one is written to us, folks. And I'm going to read it out of the Phillips version. Okay. It is through the Son, at the cost of his own blood, that we are redeemed, freely forgiven through that full and generous grace which has overflowed into our lives and opened our eyes to the truth. For God had allowed us to know the secret of his plans, and it is this. He purposes in his sovereign will that all of human history shall be consummated in Christ. That everything that exists in heaven or earth shall find its perfection and fulfillment in him. Live as he lived. Just accept it. You've been healed. You've been delivered. You've been set free. You have a life in you that cannot die. You stand head and shoulders over this world. When we are preaching Christ to the lost souls, to those who were us, remember that. It ain't about us, it's about what he's finished. God has always won. You can't be good enough, you can't be bad enough, you speak in tongues, keep doing that, and actively live for God. Actively do that. Actively just accept. Father, thank you. Drop the pride, he's done it.
Amen.
Cast down your imaginations, he's finished it. And praise God, he has. So that's what I wanted to share.
Woo, that was wonderful. Fantastic. Really hot stuff. Really blessed me very much. And I got the theme for the next year for our fellowship. And the theme for the next year is walk in newness of life.
Oh,
you know, because we're a new creation in Christ, and we got to start identifying with who we are. And it really blessed me, all the things you shared, and you covered some of the scriptures I shared in my teaching I just done, A Confident Sons of God. You know, it fits together like a hand in a glove, and God's showing, like through these sharings and teachings, God has given us his direction. And, you know, we can take it to our heart, and we can get that focus with him, and we don't deal with the flesh, you know. We are as Christ is in this world, as he is. And we can walk like him. We're to live like him. And we can. And that was just really a wonderful encouragement. And, you know, come out from among them. Come out from, you know, even believers that walk by their senses, you know.
Yeah.
And that are always, you know, striving. You know, we want to prosper and we want to be blessed. We got to stop striving. God wants us to really move and to manifest his power, his light, and bring those that are sat in darkness to really show that there's something they're missing out on. you know, that they can have the same blessing and eternal life and relationship with God. And so we got so much to give and we got so much to offer, and we need to see ourselves in the light of who God says we are. And you know, I was saying today when I was praying, I was just praying to God, and I said, Father, I thank you, my name is Lawrence Christ. And then you know you come out with that, because really, you know, that's a good surname.
Yeah.
You know, but to live it, we need to live this thing. I think, you know, if I've always said, if you're getting the same results, you need to change what you're doing. And then follow God's direction. He gives us that direction. He gives the things that we need to change. And, you know, there's no formats. We've always shared this in the fellowship. Let's get rid of the formats. And let's walk by the Spirit and live in the Spirit. You know, to live in the Spirit is to walk by the Spirit and do those things that God, you know, wants us to do. And, you know, we can't go wrong. We got the Scriptures, we got the Spirit, and God is, He's a living God, you know. And it's as we move together, we encourage one another. God confirms things, like He's done for me this week with other situations. And God is just so very faithful. So thank you for sharing, Amy. God bless your heart.
Can I just say one more thing real quick?
Yeah, carry on.
I just want you know, people, we need to really understand, when we get to these places where we, you know, we have decided that we're going, I'm going to just accept what God has done. Trust me, it is not making the enemy very happy. You know, and I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Before they threw, you know, got to the, get tossed in the fire, you know what happened? He made the fire hotter.
Yep.
But they still got delivered. So sometimes things get a little heat. You know, it's going to get a little heated. It does not matter. You know, it does not matter. God did what He said He did.
Amen.
Period.
Yeah. I love what you said about...
If it gets a little hotter, that's okay.
I love what you said about the facts and truth. And that's so, you know, like, you know, especially when God speaks into your life, the circumstances mm-hmm. may lie to you all along. You know, that, oh, no, it's not going to happen. And but you know what? Truth is truth. And if God has spoken into your life, it's going to be truth, right? And so it will come to pass. Just like He spoke into Joseph's life and other people's lives, what they're going to do. God was the one to make good on His word and work with those that He was working in. So, like, you know, all the promises in Christ are yes and amen.
Yes.
And, you know, and to really see what Jesus Christ accomplished, that He did give up His life. He laid it down. Free will choice, you know, unto God. And we're to be those living sacrifices. He's done the hard work. And all we've got to do is just focus on the new man of who we are and to walk in that newness of life. So that's just really great. I'd just like you to close out of a word of prayer, Amy, and we'll have some manifestations.
Absolutely. Well, Heavenly Father God, what a privilege it is, Father, to stand before You now, God, as Your child, to stand before You in utter awe of what You have finished in us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. To stand before You, God, with our arms open wide and with our heads bowed, Father, in all humbleness, really ready to receive all things that You have for us, God, to shine as lights for You, to Your glory, God. To the glory that You manifest in our lives, Father, as we walk out each and every day, the Christ that shines through us. Thank You, God, for how You have finished it through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for His Lordship over our lives. Thank You that we hear only His words. Thank You, Father, that we give all authority to You and You only, that we seek only after Your righteousness, God. And Father, that we, in our hearts and minds, Father, lay down all those things of the world and just accept what You have done and walk as Your lights. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You, we praise You, we give You all glory and honor. And we thank you, Father, for the great love, your grace, and your mercy that you watch over us moment by moment, day by day, your great patience with us, your long-suffering, God, and how your desire is to lift us up to a point of such glory, Father, that you have it written down that it's exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Would someone bring forth a word of prophecy, please?